I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. Trade negotiations between China and the United States are continuing this week in Washington. And apparently, there's been some progress, because now President Trump claims that March 1st isn't some magical date. The president had previously threatened to raise new tariffs on Chinese goods on the first day of March unless he got what he wanted from the Chinese. Trump has long insisted that the U.S. must reduce its trade deficit in general, but especially with China. So how's he doing on that? Here's The World's Jason Margolis.
If you think of our trade deficit with China in sound, each beat is a month of trade data. The steady high notes represent a continuous and small trade deficit in goods with China. In the 1980s and 90s, they're selling us a bit more than we're selling them. Our trade deficit with China was a few billion dollars a year back then. Chump change. Then China joins the World Trade Organization in 2001 and basically gets a seat at the big kids' table, which means it can trade more with the rest of the world. So the deficit goes from this to this. Lower notes means a larger trade deficit. China starts selling us more and more stuff. We sell them more stuff too, but not nearly as much. Ships are coming to the United States overflowing with toys, computers, bikes, you name it. Those ships are returning to China like 80% empty. Our trade deficit grows to about $350 billion a year. Then Donald Trump bursts onto the scene.
They're draining us. They're taking our money. They're rebuilding themselves.
You look at what China has done to us for so many years.
They're ripping us up, folks. It's time. We have to have fair and we have trade deficits. They have surpluses.
We've been ripped off by China.
They're taking so much money.
The theft of American jobs and wealth has come to an end.
But has it? The U.S. trade deficit with China reached record heights last year, around $400 billion. So if reducing the trade deficit with China is one of President Trump's top priorities, and the exact opposite is happening, what's going on?
Well, I think Trump talks a good game. But overall, Trump's economic and trade policies are actually making our trade problems worse.
Robert Scott is a senior economist with the Economic Policy Institute, a think tank in Washington that's partly funded by labor unions.
He put in place this massive set of tax cuts, mostly for the wealthy. That's very traditional Republican economics. So he talked like a populist, but he acted like a traditional Republican. I think it's that conflict which is at the root of the failure of his trade policies.
Trump's tax cuts have forced us to borrow more, which drives up the cost of the dollar. A stronger dollar means imports from China get cheaper and our exports become more expensive, which makes it harder for U.S. manufacturers to compete with foreign factories and therefore harder for the U.S. to narrow the trade deficit. But wait a sec. Trump has a plan. Tariffs against steel, washing machines, solar panels, and thousands of goods coming from China to drive manufacturing back to the U.S. If only economics were that simple. Economist Katie Russ at the University of California, Davis, says the tariffs are creating global economic uncertainty.
And so when there's uncertainty and people are start worrying about global growth, the dollar is a safe haven.
More demand for dollars pushes up the dollar's value even more, which again makes U.S. exports less attractive. Here's how the dollar has measured against the Chinese renminbi since March. You want the pitch to be getting lower if your goal is to boost exports to China, but that's not what's happening. But what could the president do to reverse this? Joseph Gagnon is with the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
Oh, there's a lot he could do to move the dollar down if he wanted to. I've been a little puzzled as to why he and his team have ignored that.
Again, decreasing the dollar's value would make U.S. exports more attractive.
If he wanted to do more, he could intervene in foreign exchange markets. Lots of other countries do.
Basically, the Federal Reserve could step in to weaken the dollar. Trump could also tax foreign investment to discourage overseas investors from driving up the value of the dollar. There's other tools in that toolbox handy for lowering the trade deficit.
Which is basically the opposite of what he's been doing.
So that's one part of the story. Here's the other part. What does this matter? Why is President Trump so focused on bilateral trade deficits? Again, economist Katie Russ.
From an economist's point of view, there's no reason to think that a bilateral trade deficit is necessarily a problem.
Global trade is like going to the mall, where each country is a store. Colombia's got good coffee, Japan has cool TVs, so we buy those things. The U.S. has a store at the mall, too. Right now, we buy more stuff than we sell. To Trump, China, Europe, Mexico, Canada, they're all ripping us off. Economists see it differently.
It basically means that you are consuming more goods than you're producing.
That's it. And for a wealthy country like the U.S., a trade deficit can actually be a sign of strength. We have the money to buy a lot of foreign goods. Now, there are certainly trade problems to address with China, like forcing American companies to share their technology in order to locate factories there. China has also built up its industries, like steel, with state subsidies, which can distort global markets and make it impossible for other countries to compete. But looking or listening to a bilateral trade deficit as a one-note scoreboard, a simple way to see who's winning and who's losing? Well, international economics, it's a lot more complicated than that. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.
Want to hear more of what our trade deficit with China sounds like? We've got full sonification at theworld.org.